And I begin in the name of Jesus. Amen. When Jesus begins teaching what it means to be Messiah, after he has spent some time with the disciples, convincing them that he is the Messiah, we find Simon Peter is quick to try to correct him. No, you don't understand, Jesus. Messiah means that you're going to come and save us from Rome, our enemies. You're going to defeat those that oppose us. You're going to restore a proper kingdom for us here in Israel so that we can be a free nation again. And Jesus instead rebukes him, saying, no, you don't understand. What you understand a Messiah, Savior, to be is not actually what it means. However, when he then teaches them, in order to follow me, you must take up your cross, follow me. For those who gain their life will lose it, those who lose their life will save it. He introduces another teaching that we could, like Peter, confuse, misunderstand, and misapply within our own lives. In the classic dystopian novel 1984, famously the totalitarian government of that book proclaims constantly that war is peace, freedom is slavery, and ignorance is strength. War is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength. It is their way of controlling and maintaining the population, a self-serving way of explaining that we are constantly at war because we have to constantly be fighting those who oppose us. You have to trust us and do whatever we say so that we can guarantee your freedom and so that you can find strength by not truly knowing what is going on in the world around us. It is this double speak, this inverse logic of what is actually being said. Likewise, Jesus' teaching is about the cross. To say you should take up your cross and follow me can be turned inside out and misused to say the wrong thing. Some people have taken this passage, you must take up the cross and follow me, to suggest that we should celebrate and embrace suffering whenever it shows up, that any time we are opposed or have any problems, that is God testing us or God giving us the opportunity to prove our faith to someone else. My abusive spouse is my cross to bear. My neighbor who's cruel or racist is my cross to bear. But that's not what Jesus is calling us into. Suffering for its own sake is not the point of the cross. And simply enduring suffering for the sake of suffering does not build up the kingdom or bring forth love or justice that God loves as well. Sometimes it can be twisted to suggest that if we are creating opposition to what we're doing, if we're frustrating or angering people with our actions, our Christian ways, that somehow that means that we are doing things right. That the more frequently that we make people upset with us, the more faithful and godly we must be, and we should invite and want people to cause us suffering. Unfortunately, it's important to recognize that there is a very big difference between standing on your principles and being a self-righteous jerk. It's a very big difference between the two. And unfortunately, when you're a self-righteous jerk, it's hard to know that you're being self-righteous. However, one test that I find helpful is if your idea of your principles and standing on them always demands sacrifices of other people but never of yourself, you're probably doing it wrong. Finally, some people can take this passage and turn it into a kind of victory march. Take your cross and follow me. Because Christ has conquered, we must go and conquer in the name of Christ and eliminate and get out of the way all those who disagree with us or stand in our way so that they can know how deeply we love them by forcing them into it. This kind of militant approach to it also is not in keeping with what Jesus has taught us or shown us. It can make us feel important or powerful, but it doesn't necessarily create deeper compassion, humanity, dignity, love, justice in the world around us, which Jesus and Scripture so profoundly support and ask of us. The cross is a tricky thing because we can twist it to mean different things to benefit ourselves. But so maybe instead of focusing solely on the cross in this passage, we need to take up the other word that Jesus says, follow. Take up your cross and follow me. Multiple times in Mark's gospel, those are the very commands he gives to people. He meets the first disciples on the lake shore and says, follow. Levi, the tax collector, follow me. To those who come and ask him questions, if you want to know, follow me. And the word follow in Greek, akolutheo, means not just to follow, but to be in the same path with, to follow along the same way with. To follow Jesus is to make note of the ways that he is walking, the paths that he is going along, and following in those. The problem that Peter stumbles upon is that rather than trying to follow Jesus and to learn from him, to understand what it means to take up your cross, what it means to love your neighbor, he wants to lead Jesus. Now, Jesus, let me tell you what a Messiah is supposed to do. Let me show you the way you're supposed to make this happen. Peter wants Jesus to perform in the ways that fits Peter's worldview and Peter's understanding of what is good or what is important, instead of following along and listening to what Jesus is saying. How often in our own lives do we prefer to try to lead rather than follow, or assume that following will take place somewhere down the road once we have accomplished what we need to? Lord, let me be successful and then I'll be generous. Lord, let me be popular and then I'll be kind. But Jesus says, follow me. Come alongside. Find the paths in which I am treading. And when we see that, when we do that, what we find is Jesus going to the cross, willingly giving his own life, willingly suffering the attacks and rejection of people, even his disciples, there at the cross, who are disappointed in what is going on, taking all of that upon himself so that instead new life and resurrection can come out of it. To demonstrate a kind of love that isn't self-serving, but is self-sacrificial. To demonstrate a kind of love that transforms hearts and minds, shows forth a way of God, a way of being in this world that doesn't go along with all of our typical understandings of success or power or happiness. Because the cross becomes the thing that turns things upside down. This symbol of death, of torture, this symbol of shame that was used by Rome to try to terrify other people into obedience, to convince them in Rome's own understanding of war is peace, ignorance is strength, that Christ takes it and turns it inside out, and instead his followers then put it everywhere. This sign of death becomes for us a sign of life, of transformation. That this sign of shame instead becomes a sign of honor. That we have been joined to the death and resurrection of God. That we are made part of God's family. that we are not meant to become self-righteous or cruel or militant, but that like Jesus, we walk humbly, love mercy, do justice, love neighbor, that we have been made new, that who we are, our very being has been transformed in baptism and communion by the love of God. No longer are we dependent just on ourselves, but we are a part of the greater mission and ministry that God is doing, that God has broken forth in the person of Jesus Christ and invites us to be a part of. And so, then we as followers of Jesus, we take up and we follow, find the path that he has trod, imitate the ways that he has lived, seek out and understand the ways in which he has loved and given and shared with the world. Because the cross means that we have found life, and his death is a new beginning for us. There is a reverse logic to the cross, but it's nothing like what 1984's government tries to force on its citizens. God doesn't try to convince us of those things, but instead shows us that trust is peace, that submission to God's will is strength, that service and compassion for one another is freedom. Because through Christ, the cross becomes life. We who were lost are found. That which we see as death indeed becomes a new beginning. This is good news. Amen.